happy day. Oh, a happy day.
Master Conguero Poncho Sanchez and the great Eddie Harris on tenor sax with Bongo Santa Maria's Afro Blue. This is from Sanchez's 1994 album, Para Todos, or For Everyone. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. You know, this is a gathering place where we exchange information, opinions, and ideas, and it's all about what you are thinking. What you are thinking. That's what the program is all about. 888-874-4888. This is our peer-to-peer education period where we talk to each other and exchange these ideas. I think it's one of the best ways to use radio where people can just freely express themselves. 888-874-4888. Lots to talk about. This week we saw a lot of developments in many areas. Of course, our friend Donald the Trump pulling the rug out from under the Paris Agreement on climate change. I don't know why people are acting as if they're so surprised. You know, you could see these things coming after a while. We shouldn't just wait and anticipate what he will do. We have enough of an appreciation of the man to know where he's going to be going. All right, we start with Harvey from Berkeley. You're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Eutrice.
Hey, wonderful Harvey. What's what?
Well, blessings to you and your vast audience.
Thank you.
And,
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. And we love you, of course. Now that President Trump has turned his back on America and the world by refusing to join the Paris Agreement on climate change, it's time that we take matters into our own hands. And so one thing that we can do is cover our rooftops with solar panels, and it's been estimated that the payback on a solar electric rooftop installation is about 7 years. But here's the fantastic part. If you buy an electric car and plug it into your solar electric rooftop, instead of pumping Chevron or other gasoline, you're pumping solar electrons to fill the car's battery, and the money saved by not buying gasoline will help pay off the solar electric rooftop installation in about 4 years instead of 7 years. Also, because solar panels are warranted for about 20 to 25 years, once you pay off your solar rooftop, you get power for your house and your car and your electric car for free for about 15 to 20 years. And if you add up your home utility bills and gasoline costs over 15 to 20 years, we're talking about the savings of tens of thousands of dollars. And another great thing is that homes that have solar installations sell faster and for more money because they come with a built-in electric utility. Hi there.
Oh, I wasn't hearing you.
Yeah. What's that noise? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, but you're all cracked up.
Okay. I don't know where that noise is coming from. Did you hear any of my conversation? Hello? Okay. Hello?
Oh, what's going on? We lost you, Harvey. If you can, you can call back. Cerise from Queens, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, I sincerely help you. I sincerely hope that your
I'm
health is improving.
I'm not hearing anything.
Okay, I'm hearing something else. But I'll say this. I sincerely hope your health is improving, and I hope you have the very best of health.
Thank you. I'm hanging in there.
Okay, now I just have a few suggestions. You can take them or you can throw them out the window, either one you want. But since you are such a progressive person, I have a recommendation that we start forming some committees, right? And after we form the committees, I think we should put some think tanks together, and we should have some in the area of, say, banking. And say if we get 1 million people and each of us, say, put in $10 a week, by the end of the year, we'll have enough to start our own bank. And we could also have some think tanks where we could buy some farmland and start producing our own food and lower inflated prices of some of these foods we are buying, you know?
And then, well, you know, you have that now. There, you have community banks. You have quite a few of them in existence right now.
Okay, I need to investigate further then.
Yes, they do exist. You may have to do a little hunting, depending on where you are. But you have, for example, in Queens, I know you have Carver Federal Savings and Loan. You have the Municipal Union Bank as well. And many churches have... Well, they're not full-fledged banks, but they're like, they're like a community-type bank. So you can look into that. But there are banks in existence now, smaller banks that are in existence. But Carver Federal Savings and Loan, I've been talking about them for quite a while. They're a small black-owned bank, and they had for many years topped the list of banks, including the mega banks, for community reinvestment. Very conservative bank, as is the tradition of black banks, but they were cited for several years as being at the top of the list of banks that actively reinvest in the community. So you may want to check them out.
Okay, I'll do that. And I'll just make a comment. You know, I'm already with the Municipal Federal Credit Union. And also what I see is, you know, with our money, we can't get 1% interest. And then when we make a loan, you know, we pay in after that period go by where they give us 7%, 8%, go up to 23%. I was noticing that on the offer. So we need to increase those. When we do have our own banks, and like you say, I need to do my homework, you know. But anyway, thank you very much for letting me and allowing me to speak.
Oh, thank you for calling. Pleasure talking with you. Let's talk to Willie from North Carolina. You're on the air. Hello, Marie from Baltimore. You're on the air.
Thank you for having an amazing, brilliant speech Thursday. It was out of sight. And
thank you.
And a couple of gentlemen seemed to be middle-aged or so, made some statements about the American people here, of which I found very true. They're maybe not aware of what's going on. And I would like your Thursday show repeated again on July the 4th. I would wake up to a wonderful show. if I hear yesterday's come on July 4th. That's all I have to say. You have a good day.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you appreciate it. I got a lot of feedback on it, so apparently it went over quite well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. Bye.
Bye-bye. Willie, you're on the air from North Carolina.
Thanks for having me on.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Willie.
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Okay, I'm hanging in.
I just wanted to make a point. You know, I'm really keeping up with this since the election. I'm keeping up with Donald Trump. And, you know, I've been watching how he's showing all of the Trump supporters, and they just don't see it, that he's all about money. Everything that he does, he profits from. And I give an example. He charged the government for in his business. I'm sorry, not he don't charge the government. His business charged the government for everything and anything they can. And when he put his daughter in that advisory position, I said to myself, "Then here we go. You know she's gonna get richer than she already is." And look at the Sony deal. He said his son-in-law to negotiate the arms deal, and the son-in-law wind up negotiating for the Saudis instead of for the American companies that's making the weapons, that's building the weapons. And you know that he got a commission off of the deal.
I think so.
And then his daughter, her charity got, $100 million? You know, to go toward her charity, which she says she won't have any control over, which we know that's not true. But, you know, Trump is a phony. You know, he's a hypocrite. You know, he dogged out Hillary Clinton and her charities, and then he dogged out Obama and Hillary Clinton about the way they presented themselves to the Saudis. And he talked about how he wouldn't bow to the Saudis, and Obama shouldn't have did that. And he did more than bow. He did a little curtsy. You know? I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, you made a statement a few minutes ago that was so true. You know, we already know what this man is about and what he's going to do. And we just seeing it now. And
we have had many, many opportunities to, you know, to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, there's no need anymore to pretend that this, we have to wait and see what he does next. We just should be prepared by now that he would do just about anything. By the way, you know, something ought to be done. Because I see that his family, I mean, Air Force One is like a taxi now.
That's exactly right.
They're running all the members of the family, including yesterday, even two dogs are on Air Force One running around doing their business. So it's like that time when Clinton was in office and she was every 2-3 days, practically. She's off to this place and off to that place. And we knew, because I said it at that time, that needed to be investigated because we needed to know what was the diplomatic mission that called for her and her daughter and friends to be traipsing around the world at the taxpayers' expense. Trump and his entire family are running around. I see he doesn't use the Trump airplane for family business, but Air Force One is doing taxi service. I mean, incredible.
So we need to get
a tab on how much it's costing these people to traipse around at taxpayer expense.
And then don't forget about his vacations in Florida. You know, I read that was like $3 million a weekend, you know. and then it's
well, the folks in Boca or West Palm Beach, I should say, have already decided that they are not going to tolerate having to pay all this money simply because Trump feels like having a nice weekend. So
yeah,
that was an
that.
Issue.
I thought that was real good too. And one last thing, Banner is. Man, I saw a little skit on one of the late night shows where they showed him and he just burst open with a bunch of worms and snakes and all that stuff. And I just believe that he is just such an evil, evil person, you know. But anyway, I'm not going to hold you up on it. I appreciate you taking my call, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Willie. Nice to hear from you. Gwen from New York, you're next.
Hi, Yatrice.
Hi, how
are
you
doing? It's a beautiful day here in New York, and I'm going to go back to my garden in about a half hour, but I had to get on your show. I just wanted to, two things I wanted to say. First, about how much is it costing the taxpayers. The first 2 months in to have him and his family covered was $11.5 million. So I don't know where we're at now, so we're probably up to at least $20 million for his trips and his friends and his this and that. That's where we're at with Trump. But I also wanted to make a comment about something that somebody sent me yesterday that I really, really think we should pay big attention to. And that is that the Republicans with Paul Ryan are changing the ethic laws, which means that if somebody from the Congress or the Senate is under investigation, they're saying that their computers and notebooks are their private property and they're not open to the public and we're not allowed to see what they've been doing. And I find this extremely troubling because I feel that as the laws get broken, that Trump may be able to get ahead of the time where anybody is actually held responsible and change those laws. And this is unbelievable to me. I didn't hear it on the regular news last night. I heard very little talk of it. And it seems to me that this could probably be more important than any of the other things that are going on. Because if you can change the laws to suit your corrupt cabinet and government, then there is no way of reining these people back in. Then we really are stuck with a dictator that we have no control over.
Well, that is an indication that he is going to follow in the tradition of Obama and Bill Clinton, which is, it is meant to protect after he leaves office. There's a period in which, of course, they're totally, practically immune because we can't put our hands and the investigators can't put their hands on evidence that may be contained in computers and logs and whatever else exists. When he holds harmless, and he's already signed it, that they will be exempt from regular ethics rules. That's a
right.
sign that they got their plans already for a healthy
right.
afterlife. They'll be making money even after they're gone.
So maybe I didn't understand that. Well, hello?
Listening,
hello?
I'm listening.
Oh, okay. There's some big noise coming from your side.
Hello, Gwen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Well, something keeps happening on the phone that I can't hear you. Anyway, so I'm not sure if maybe I didn't read the article correctly. So we're talking because what it indicated to me in the article was that they were actually changing the laws now. So if there was some kind of investigation that was going to be done, they would be already covering themselves so that they would not they would have impunity.
Right.
But not for after the fact, not for after when they leave. I mean, currently, right now, say that there was an impeachment hearing, and all of this stuff was the laws were rewritten to protect these people from being criminally liable, so they couldn't be impeached, and that's what I find really really troubling going on right now.
It's not set in stone. I mean, he could write as many laws as he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Or many directives as he wishes. He could sign as many edicts as he wishes. That doesn't make it law.
Yeah,
and we've seen
enough, I do understand that. But
examples
I guess when you see Paul
of him,
Ryan
taking measures that the courts have overturned. So
right.
it's, you know, it's no sense getting anxious about it. it still has a way to go. Even if he writes it, even if he says, yes, I approve this. Of course you approve it.
Oh, but that doesn't mean it will be permanent. I understand that. But I was, you know, I was especially, not that I have any faith in Paul Ryan, I don't. But I do think he knows a little bit more than Trump. And so when he was out in the front saying that he was leading the charge for this, and let's face it, they have a majority. So we really, there's no power at all for anybody to make a Republican do anything. And unfortunately, there are so many of them that are capitulating to Trump. I don't see any of them, you know, being able to go against the grain of what Paul Ryan's asking to do. And I am really terrified of how fast this thing is going and where we're going to end up. I don't think it's a bad thing in the case of Trump to be a little paranoid. It's probably helpful.
Well, you know, what's happening is that the stand-in for the public interest, groups like Judicial Watch and others, are stepping in to represent the people's interests, and they are suing. There are lots of lawsuits in play challenging Trump's actions. The Democrats are useless. Third parties, we haven't heard a thing from the Green Party.
No. I can tell you what they're saying because they do come out and speak about it, but they don't, they almost, there's no redirection. It's just a complaining. There's not what else can we do or who can we put out there. From what I understand, it's just a bitter complaining, basically saying, and whether you agree with this or not, this is just what I've been hearing, is that they're so happy that Hillary didn't get in that they almost seem to like Trump better. Now, I don't think either one of these picks was great. That's why I didn't vote for either one of them. I voted for Jill Stein in the regular election, and I voted for Bernie Sanders before that. But I do find it troubling. I think Trump is so, so vile and so bad and leads with ignorance on top of everything else. So, you know, I couldn't say that he's the lesser of any two evils. He's as evil, at least as evil for sure.
But they're leaving the work up to, you know, the public interest groups. Those are the people doing the legal challenges. I don't see that the Democratic Party has, sent a raft of lawsuits challenging Trump about anything. They talk about stuff, they're calling news conferences, but that's not what's going to work.
There is something positive you said about this. I think we as Americans have been sitting on our butts for way too long. We've been spoon-fed. We've been waiting to be taken care of. And maybe this is a way of us stepping up to the plate. Even the man that was talking about the solar and what people are actually doing right now, and it is so exciting. I go through New Jersey, I cannot believe, and I'm talking about the poor neighborhoods in New Jersey are putting solar panels on all their roofs. So it just goes to show that my dad was wrong and I'm right. My dad said, I said, that is where, if you want to invest in something, invest in that, I'm telling you. And he's like, I don't know about that. And then we saw them all over the place, and he said, I guess you were right. I am right. Solar's going to be the way to go, and I'll tell you what, all this, we don't have to wait for anybody to tell us how to take care of our own environment in front of us. If you wait for them in Washington, you'd be waiting for the rest of your life. So I think maybe the way Americans are thinking now is we have to change our own thinking in order to protect our own lives. Because when you saw what he did yesterday, it was like, forget it. There's just total lack of regard for everything and all. So we're kind of forced to do what we should have been doing all along, and that's participate. Listen, if you live in a house, you know, it's your responsibility to keep it clean, neat, and organized. Well, we live in the country, and we have to get out there, and we have to participate. And it's much better when, you know, lots of people come out and participate than just a few. Those few get beleaguered and tired, and they get burnt out. So everybody can now come to the table for this gigantic party.
Thanks for your call today.
Bye, Eugene.
Take care. I need to explain something. We had so much difficulty at the start of the program today, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I did. It's the landscapers. I live in a complex, and the landscapers just do their thing, but they just like doing it just when I'm on the air. They just, they say, what could we do to disrupt lead stories? And it's not just the noise. It's apparently it throws off the Wi-Fi that I use. So that's probably one of the reasons we had a little difficulty at the beginning connecting with each other. But it's done. It's done now. I think there is a little message that they send out to each other. Hey, around 1 o'clock, between 1 and 2, let's do the landscaping and see if we could disrupt lead stories. 888-874-4888. We're back. We're calm. The airwaves are calm, so we can get to talk to each other without interruption. Claude from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Thank you for my call. I have a simple question. Why have we forgotten about Donald Trump's tax return?
I mean, this
If you follow the money, you'll see where this man is invested and what his interests are. Because obviously, he's behind, obviously, in big oil and whatnot. But then people can really then judge, what his motives and what his real aspirations are in this job.
Well, the reason why do you think we haven't seen his tax returns yet?
Because he doesn't want to show them. But can we demand it to see them?
Yeah, but there's a deeper reason, too, and that is there are some things there that, if seen by, say, a U.S. attorney or an FBI, the director of the FBI, there might be some things in there that would be extremely questionable.
Well,
and criminal.
Question is, fine. Then that would also then question his ability to do his job effectively for the American people, not just for his own interests and his crony friends.
Yeah, but the question is, how are you going to compel a president to basically have his tax returns published? There's no law that says that he has to reveal his tax returns. There's nothing there that could compel him to do it, except public pressure. And even so, the question is, he still has the right to resist public pressure. So there's got to be something that would compel him to produce his tax returns, some kind of a business deal in which questions can be raised. But my theory is that there are too many things in his tax returns that could provide ammunition for serious criminal action against him.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I think maybe that should be they should maybe even be rewriting the laws, seeing how the government is rewriting laws to protect their interests, so they don't get retroactively, criminalized. Why aren't we putting this into the law so we can at least judge who we're electing as president before they get into office?
Right. I think, based on the experience that we have had with Trump so far, there ought to be a consideration of a couple of things that are not now in play. For example, I don't think it is unreasonable to have presidential campaigns presidential candidates submit themselves and submit their records, their health records, have an independent medical group and whatnot go, administer tests to make sure that they fit for office. I think that's a reasonable thing. I think it is reasonable to ask for the publication or for the tax returns to be available.
Money is what's really the focus of everything here. Money talks.
Of course.
But we don't need to follow these people down this road. That's the crazy thing. These people are more interested in the commercial, their financial, their investments rather than the health of the earth. I mean, this is our mother. I think if we were to look back in history, all the pre-civilized people right now would be just puking to see what we've done and how we act. And I remember seeing years ago on television, they were interviewing a tribal person in the Amazon, and this person was dressed in all their feather regalia and paint, and they were looking, and they looked absolutely spooky. They looked really, really trippy, and they were looking at the interviewer and talking like, look what you're doing to the earth. Look what you're doing. You know, and you know, who is the criminal here? Who is crazy here? I mean, we just lost complete touch with everything that really matters about life.
I think that's a spillover of what imperialism does. It gives everybody permission to adopt a mentality that they don't have to care about anybody else. Yeah. It's part of the culture. They don't care. And they don't have to. If we should run out of a particular resource, we'll just find something else to substitute for it.
Yeah, if we're disconnected, that's really the shame. It's really a shame. And I guess, I mean, and things have grown to the point where, you know, I mean, Guy McPherson was on the program on Gary Noticy a little while ago talking about the issues. I mean, there's really no way out of this. And it just seems as though these people, you know, instead of trying to do their best to try to ramp, just pull things down a little bit, they're just going to ramp it up and just grab what they can until the bitter end.
Right, you know, and they will leave. Their attitude is, after I'm gone, they'll have to figure it out, and they'll figure it out. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to do what it is I want to do, and I can't and won't be stopped.
Yeah, or it's like or they're thinking like it's a movie where there's going to be some huge arc that's going to take away, you know, the oligarchs and their buddies and pals, and everybody else is just going to have to suffer in the mess. You know, I don't know what they think.
Well, the good thing is that there at least are some of us who don't think that way, and we are really saddened by the fact that so many more people are thinking otherwise and acting on the way that they're thinking. But we have enough people who are concerned, who are enlightened, who see what the future will hold if we maintain this path and the need to change. So that is the only hope that we have at the moment.
I think another good documentary to look at on the internet is, let's see, what is it called now? It's Arctic Death Spiral Methane Time Bomb. Very, very interesting documentary about this issue, about the melting of the Arctic ice caps, about the release of the methane hydrates. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Sure.
And once it's and like he says, once it starts, you can't stop this. It's really scary.
But your president doesn't think so. He thinks that these are namby-pamby people raising a false alarm, that the Earth is going through its natural rhythms and so forth, and, you know, we need not get overly concerned.
Yeah, well, I almost don't believe that about the man. I really don't want to believe that he's that ignorant. You know, it's just isn't possible.
Believe it. Is that in fact, there was a scientist who published a piece today saying how ignorant he is of science. So people have been saying these things. They don't matter, because what Trump is responding to is the enormous amount of money to be made in the old fossil fuel world. And where he, of course, has business interests, and they would continue even after he leaves office. So while he is in office, he puts those things in place, those rules or laws and even just opinions, to reflect that he's very much in tune with the fossil fuel industry. This is how he thinks.
But being in real estate, you would also think that the man has so many properties. You would think he would also be interested in solar, because the panel, the glass in buildings, I mean, this could be re-engineered so that instead of having windows, you actually could also be having, you know, solar batteries.
Well, here's the way the people in the real estate industry think. They will not spend money unnecessarily because it is a shifting field. It's an industry in which you own a building as long as you don't have a buyer yet. So there's no point in you spend money and you invest in a building in such a way where you are going to enjoy the benefits of the building for a long, long time. So landlords,
yeah, it's amortized, exactly. They amortize it. Yeah, we pay.
They do. They imagine that they're going to occupy or own a building for X number of years, and by then it will be sold. And by then they would get so much profit out of it. So don't pump money unnecessarily into a building.
Short term.
Sick. Thanks, Claude. Great talking
Thank
with you
very
today.
Much.
Thank you. David, you're on the air from Brooklyn.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I was having a little trouble hearing you with the garden workers doing their job, so yeah. I may have missed some things. But I have some ideas I think, to me, are important. I get to the point where I go to the bottom line. And to me, people made good contributions in the terms of the things they talked about, various things that President Trump has done and his family and so forth. But the bottom line for me is for people to think about there's no possible way whatsoever in the world for this duopoly of Republican and Democrat Party, capitalist parties that have one interest in benefiting those at the top and not the masses of people that live in this country or the environment of the country or the world before making a profit for themselves. And until we get to the point where we stop thinking that we can do movements to cajole these people into doing this and that for some of the population, then we will forever have them ruling over us and benefiting themselves. We've got to support this system that we have. This duopoly that's in effect in this country, does not work for the people. We got to get it. We got to do something else. We got to stop depending on this duopoly that will never, ever, ever serve the needs of the people that live in this country and protect the environment or look out for the environment and the whole world. So that's what my bottom line is. We got to do something to change what has been going on with Trump and not, you know, all the things that he does with the government airplanes and so forth. You know, that's to be expected with an operation like this. The big picture is no more Democrats, no more Republicans, and getting a government that serves the needs of the people who live in the country.
Well, I think you have a very strong point here. The question is changing the mentality of the people themselves to recognize that they do have power. They have the power and ability to create some kind of change. They just have to really knuckle down and change the way they do things and the way they think. We, to one degree or the other, we still look to Washington. We still hope that Washington could change and that they will do the right thing. It's the wrong way to think. The evidence suggests that if you think that way or continue to think that way, you'll continue to get what you're getting.
That's so right. We have a situation with the people in this country where people are not educated. They are trained to go along with the status quo. They've got to stop thinking in that way. People think, for example, that you can, you have to pick one of these duopoly divisions of a single party, Republican or Democrat, and that's it. They never even imagine that there can be something else. And when you express that to people, they think you go crazy. Oh, no, we got a two-party system. This two-party system is never, ever going to work to benefit the people.
No, so they have their little club in Washington, D.C., and they negotiate with each other for the goodies for each other. But they don't talk about issues with respect to what is good for the people, what's good for the nation. That's not the number one priority in Washington.
Don't represent the interests of the people of the country.
But, you know, in the situation that we're in now, I can't for the life of me understand why the Green Party, the Sanders folks, other people in third parties, why are they not more prominent? Why are they not seen in the community as making these points? We just got through an election. You see what happened. And there will be more of this if we don't organize. We're not seeing them responding.
They're not coming on strong enough. And, you know, they're pretending that this is a situation where you have not only the two capitalist parties, the Republican and Democrat, but we're just joining in. They don't get it across to the people. Hey, look, these parties are not for you. This is a game. You're being played. That's all it is. And people are being played. So, you know, they're not getting the message across. And people are so well-trained to have allegiance. People have allegiance to Republicans or Democrats, even then when it's not in their interest.
But
they would be persuaded,
I think, to change their minds when they see a victory of some sort, a significant victory outside of the two-party system. And that would be a great persuader, but we're not seeing that yet.
No, we're not seeing that yet. There's exceptions, but that's so hard to deal with because of the type of training the population is being given in the schools and colleges. And you can go through the schools and colleges and be completely oblivious to what's happening to you to train you to fit into the current system that does not benefit you. So you can graduate from college and you get a job working at McDonald's or Starbucks or something. You don't understand the system, and you don't understand there's no future in doing the same thing wrong over and over and over again.
But this is what increases, I think, the demand that people in the business of creating change, or people who say they're committed to creating change, also have to find new ways of communicating the change that is possible.
Amen.
And they also have to communicate a vision. Look, people are very scared to move away from what they know. They feel comfortable. As awful as the system is, they will stick with the system because it's something they know and would rather do that than, you know, take their chances with something they don't know. But my point is
that is
we have to have bright enough leaders, bright enough people to understand how people think, how people behave. And if you are in the organizing business, you will come up with ways in which you can persuade people to rethink, you know, the choices that they have and to make that step towards something new.
Yes, the ruling class that's in power, they are very able to fight against that by constantly making people scared, afraid. And that's one of the strategies they're very good at. And when you get people in the scary mode, then you can do a lot with them. And so they've been masters of that. And, you know, it's funny that people don't, to me, they don't understand, you know, simple things. Like, for example, NATO. And I listen to these generals and whatnot talking about the Russians and whatnot, and they have to have a strong NATO and sell plenty of arms and whatnot. And people don't even get that. They don't understand that these people are working for the arms industry, the capitalists who make billions of dollars selling arms. They're going to sell it to all these little countries. And you got to have an enemy. I mean, you can read, you can study if you go beyond what you get in the public schools and colleges and find out that it's necessary to have enemies to keep the economy going in the favor of those who are in the ruling class. And you need plenty of enemies. You got enemies all the time. And, you know, they love enemies because when you do that, people let down, they go, oh, yeah, that we've got to have more arms and so forth and pay for it rather than have any kind of social or economic benefit for the people.
Mm-hmm. We are at a point where we have to rethink, seriously rethink a whole lot of things.
Amen.
Rethink our approaches because there are people existing at all kinds of levels of understanding. So in rethinking, we have to assume that we have to fashion a way to reach out and get these people where they are.
Absolutely.
But I don't know
and
whether it is because people are just
Trump,
tired.
Even if they get
what,
Trump out of there, that doesn't change the system. They'll just have maybe a kind of general, gentler person who doesn't talk like Trump, and, oh, he's palatable, you see. So it's not just about Trump. It's understanding the system, and as we've said before, system analysis, and taking an action that will get you something different, because there's absolutely no hope in these two parts of the capitalist parties that run the country of doing things that are for the benefit, as I say, for the most of the people that live here.
Thank you, David. Always something to learn from you. Thank you for calling in today. From New York again, Ali, you're on the air.
Hi, you, Therese. How are you doing?
Okay. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Hello? We lost. Are you there? Now, that's not me. Something else is going on. Oh, we lost her. The engineer says, Ali, we lost you, in case you're listening. So you'll need to call back. So much is happening, and there are no easy answers for any of the things that are happening that are impacting our lives directly. The most important thing we should keep in mind is that we do have minds, and that's a really good defense system right there. You start with what you think and what you know, and you don't get flustered. You know, what I said yesterday about Trump and Clinton, they're not nearly as bright as they think they are. They, however, understand the systems that they need to work to their advantage. Oh, Ali is back, so we'll get to my thought in a minute. Ali, you're back. We lost you there for a minute.
Yes, I just heard the line went off. This is what I wanted to say, because you always talk about system. And one of the things that people, I don't know how people, they're so surprised about Trump getting out of the Paris Accord. And, you know, because I have been thinking about that. This situation started with the Reagan administration when he removed those panels from the White House. When Carter put those panels, those solar panels, in the White House. And so nothing really surprised me, because some of these people, they got out there, the climate change people, 350.org, to protest in front of the White House. And one of the things that they should have done was, if the Clinton administration, the Bush, the Obama, to demand for those panels to be put back into the White House. Because if they really mean something about this climate change, and it doesn't matter who is in the White House, because you saw Obama really didn't do anything. Obama, as a matter of fact, look what he did to the people in North Dakota and all that. So this is not a surprise. It's a system set up to do what they wanted to do. And it's to make money, to take all the oil that they can from the ground and forget it about the environment. So I believe this thing started way back when the panels, those solar panels, were taken out from the White House. And we could just look at the other things that is happening right now, with the privatization, with the union destruction, all these different things. It has been set up. It has been like a plan to come and implement it. And all these things, we could go back to the, especially the Reagan administration, how all these things are happening right now. So we should not be surprised, because all these things, they have been out there for us to look at and to see and how it's been implemented. But like everything else, it's like the rich people, like in New York City, how the warehouse, most of the part of Harlem, and people cannot even live there at one time in some area, and those buildings, they were just being held for years because they had the money, and now they implemented whatever they want right now, which is the gentrification of the whole 5 boroughs. So this is something that we should look. It's a system that sits and waits, and they implement it, and they don't care who they crush and who they stepped on.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you today. Thanks, Ali, for your call.
Thank you.
Tony, you're going to be the last caller today. Thank you for calling in.
Am I on the line?
Yes, you certainly
okay,
are.
Okay, the reason I'm calling, I just want to see if I can contribute with one of the callers previously spoke of the problem we have with the current political system and government, you know, by and large. But to make a long story short, what I will suggest that what we should do as voters is withdraw our affiliation, you know, register with the various political party, and just have yourself pretty much registered as independent. And I think that will be a first step in giving these political pundits something to think about.
Now, just go a little bit further. Why did you, for example, suggest the independent party?
Well, because right now, when you look at the way the political structure is actually set up, these Democrats or Republicans, they know that there is X amount of people that are registered for a particular party. And with that, they can come up with some kind of a consensus. They can come up with some kind of estimated poll or, you know, something like that. And I think by not giving them that opportunity, then they will be more or less allow themselves to be vetted to the people as opposed to, let's say, the party.
Well, I thought you might also have included the fact that the party has a structure. The independent party has a structure. that, you know, so you don't have to start from scratch. That's an advantage.
That's very
true. The question is whether you're ideologically compatible, you know, as a voter with the ideology of the independent party or any other party for that matter. But your point is solid about the fact that people should make the effort to move away. Leave no doubt that you're moving away from the status quo and making other political choices. Thank you, Tony, for your call today. And that brings us to the end of the program. Thank you so much. I apologize for the noise of the landscapers, but I'm going to have to figure a way to get that fixed. All right, so let me say, coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. Always you learn something new from Dr. Jack. You can reach me at leadstories, leidstories@gmail.com. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. It's the weekend. Surround yourself with somebody or people who are positive and bring positive dimension to your life, and run like hell away from people who don't. We'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.
FM.